Good evening, everybody. It's my pleasure to be here. I was told that some of you are from Irish origin. Would you like to raise your hand if that's the case? If some of you come from Ireland or are from Irish origin? Probably. Good. Good to see you. I have a personal link with Ireland because I lived over there from 2003 to 2009. And probably those were six of the happiest years in my life. Very good time. I was studying at that time, was doing my doctoral research in Dublin. And I have keen memories of that time. So it's great that St. Patrick is accompanying us with his intercession as we begin this meditation for Lent. And it is good that we remember St. Patrick as well, because he's a great preacher, but mainly a great pastor, a good shepherd for the flock. St. Patrick is one of the best examples of what evangelization should mean. Bringing the gospel to the people and bringing the people to the gospel. In a very peaceful way, full of harmony, full of care, full of loving attention to each one of the sheep. That's what I find in St. Patrick. In many other places, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is a message of peace and love, has been spread through violence. We can remember that the Spaniards, for example, in many places in Latin America, when they were spreading the good news, well, they made use of force, some degree, some measure of force and violence in planting the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is evident for someone like me that what they did was very good for us. So I'm not complaining about that. I am really happy of my Spanish heritage and the Spanish language, and of course my Catholic faith, who was brought to my country by the Spaniards. But I cannot deny the measure of violence and force that was used to bring the gospel, to take the gospel to those lands. And if we remember also the case here in the United States, we know that the confrontation, the real warfare that happened between Christians and Indians, the Indian tribes here. So the gospel eventually, you can say, won over. You can say that. But it is a pity that there was so much violence coming from Christians against pagans or non-Christians. St. Patrick is exactly the opposite. St. Patrick is like winning over the people, but not through violence, not through enforcement, but just conquering hearts, convincing minds, and reaching out to the different needs of different peoples. In that sense, I feel that St. Patrick is not only richness in the past of Ireland, but it is also a real treasure for the Catholic Church. And that's the reason for invoking him as one that can help us in this meditation. Well, that was the introduction for this Lenten meditation. Let's move forward. Lent. What's the first word that probably comes to your mind when we just pronounce Lent. Most probably, you associate Lent with one or more of these words: fasting, prayer, almsgiving. And that is correct. That is exactly the spirit of the Lenten season. In the very first day of Lent, Ash Wednesday, we heard a passage of the Gospel according to Matthew. And in that particular passage, we heard our Lord Jesus Christ teaching us about fasting and about prayer and about almsgiving. Well, we can ask ourselves, what's the particular reason for taking these three activities, these three works? What do they have in common? What do they have in particular so as to be taken by the Church as the three defining lines for the Lenten season? Well, in all truth, we have to say that it is not a Christian tradition. Long before Christ were born, we know that these three activities, these three acts of piety, were very, very characteristic of the Jewish piety. And again, there is a reason for that. Let's think a little bit of each one of these acts of piety. What about fasting? It's like putting a limit to myself, to my own desire, to my hunger. But not only hunger, it is the wish, the desire of enjoying, of having delight. And why do we do that? Why do we put that kind of limit? Well, you can say that it is a way of self-educating each one of us. We can relate fasting with self-education. It is about self-mastery. It is about the relationship between you and your desires. You and whatever is desirable, whatever is lovable, whatever is interesting to you. Well, that is a first step. Now, what about prayer? Clearly, prayer speaks of a relationship. It is our relationship with God. The more we pray, the more we enter into a close relationship with God. So we see that fasting has to do with the connection or relationship between myself and some of my needs, desires, probably duties as well. Me, myself, and my desires. Prayer, it is about the relationship between me and God. And almsgiving is reaching out from my particular and limited context, going out to meet the needs of others. So it is about my neighbor. Now, I'm sure that you're beginning to see a scheme that is emerging. Fasting has to do with myself, prayer with God, almsgiving with my neighbor. And if you think of it, you realize that that's exactly the key to the Lenten season. It's bringing order. It's bringing light. It's bringing perfection. It's bringing improvement to the very basic relationships that you and every person, every human person has. You have some kind of relationship between your desires and needs and yourself. You have a relationship between you and God. And you have a relationship between you and the many, many neighbors you have. If you are a family person, you have a relationship with your spouse, probably your children, your grandchildren, your in-laws. So you have lots of relationships with neighbors. Okay, so Lent is all about housekeeping. That's a beautiful way of describing what Lent is about. It's about housekeeping. It's bringing order, bringing light, clarity, perfection, improvement in whatever is connected with you. What you have to do with your own desires and needs, what you have to do with God, and what you have to do with your neighbor. The very basic relationships that are connected, that are defining what we ourselves are, the very basic relationships are being brought to the fore in the Lenten season so as to be cleansed, so as to be purified, so as to be improved. And that is the particular reason for these three acts of piety. May I say something about this word, piety? Because some people might think that piety is exactly the same as devotion, for example. And they are synonyms in some aspects. But there is a richness in piety that I think deserves some minutes of our attention. Piety is a word that is in English coming from Latin. Pietas is the word in Latin. And pietas, you know what pietas is? Pietas is the name of a particular love. Pietas was the word that ancient Romans used to name love that connects parents with children and children with parents. Romans, Latin-speaking people in ancient times, were very much aware that there are very, very different kinds of love. It is not exactly the love that I have for my country, love that I have towards nature, love for a pet dog that I have in my house, love for children, love for the spouse. There are different kinds of love. And they had this word, pietas, to denominate that particular love that exists in the relationship between parents and children. That kind of self-giving away because of the needs, because of the desires of children. If some stranger, some person unknown to you, says to you, you know, I would like to have an ice cream. That means almost nothing to you. Well, okay, you like an ice cream. Yeah, okay, that's it, and that's the end of it. But what happens when a loving mother, when a loving father, hears the same words coming from her child? Mommy, I'd like to have an ice cream. Those words are powerful in us. They are heard in a different way. And the reason for this difference is simply that that person, that little lovable person that is your child, has some kind of power over you. And that power comes from pietas, because there is a connection, there is a link, there is an atmosphere that makes that voice resound different in your ears. Well, this is important, because in pietas, when we speak of pietas, this kind of love, we're speaking of this new atmosphere, this ambience, this new language, this something special that only exists in that particular relationship. Even in the context of the family, it is not the same that the child says, "I'd like to have an ice cream." It's not the same child saying that, that for example, if your brother says that, or if your spouse says that, it's not the same. There is some particular accent, some nuance, something, and that something belongs to the atmosphere of particular love that you have with that particular person. It is very interesting to realize that the same atmosphere at some point in life plays a different role, but in the opposite direction. For example, I remember precisely in the time that I was living in Ireland, I used to phone my mother, and the very fact of hearing her voice was powerful over me. Again, I could speak with many, many people, different persons and different contexts, but that particular tone of her voice and the language and what she was saying became immediately very, very important for me. Not because of the content of the words, but because of the atmosphere. I keep repeating this word, the atmosphere that is created when this kind of love exists. That atmosphere changes the way parents hear the voices of their children, and when those children grow up, the way they, the children, pay attention to the words of their parents. Why am I insisting in this word, in this atmosphere, in this pietas? Because I have said several times that fasting, prayer, and almsgiving are acts of piety. Now we realize what is the true interpretation of those acts in Catholic faith, in our Catholic faith. I mean, it's not the simple fact of fasting. It's not the simple fact of being a little more generous. For example, giving away a little more money to people in need. It's not the simple fact of spending more time in church. It's not only the facts. It is the atmosphere. What the church, what our beloved Catholic Church expects from you during this time of Lent is not only that you have acts of piety. It is expected, it is wished that you enter into this new atmosphere. I mean, that you change the mood. Well, we know this expression in connection, for example, with Christmas time. Maybe that's a good example. There's something that is called the spirit of Christmas, or to be in the mood for Christmas. And for many people, Christmas time is characterized for some joyful attitude, a little more openness, to be more family oriented, things like that. Well, that's an example of what atmosphere means. It is to enter into a different way of being. It's not only doing things, it is changing the way of being. It's being in a different way. The same person that I have known for so long, when comes Christmas time, changes his or her mood. It's kind of different during that time. Well, that's the idea during Lent, in another direction, of course. What I mean is that these acts of piety, like fasting and praying and almsgiving, are related to a different and profound change in our mood and attitude. So it's not only saying more prayers, it's being more prayerful. You see the difference? It's not only repeating more times the same act. It's not about what you do. I do this and I repeat this and I repeat again this. No. It is about the attitude. Not exactly more prayers, but being more prayerful. It's not exactly fasting more. Well, that's intended as well, and that's part of the true nature of Lent. But it is not simply the fact that now I am eating less. No, that would be falling short of the idea. It is more about the humbleness and self-restraint and self-dominion and self-mastery, but not because I am just building up my character. I am building up my personality. No, it's not because of something in me. It is because I am convinced that something has to change in my life. And I have to receive, I have to acknowledge Christ the Lord as my true Savior and my real true Lord. And because of that, I am making room for Him. Making room for Him. So that fasting is not only an attitude that exists in my bodily customs, what I do on a daily basis is not that simple. It is that I am fasting, I am entering into a time of self-dominion, self-restraint, some limitation of myself, because I am making room for Him. It is because I am opening up new spaces in my life, new places in my existence, And I am opening that room, and I am preparing all that because I believe that I need my Lord and Savior more and more present in my life. That's the true sense of fasting. Again, almsgiving is not about a simple game with numbers. Usually I gave to the church or I gave to the poor this particular amount, so I will increase that amount by a 10% during Lent. Not that simple. Well, that's important. To be more generous during Lent is good. I'm not denying that. But the real spirit of Lent is an atmosphere. It's about asking myself many times, asking myself more frequently, why am I so self-centered? How often do I think of the needs of others? Probably I cannot fix the financial or economical situation of other people. Probably cannot do that. But probably what I can do is to open a little more, to have a more open attitude towards the needs of others. So this is the spirit of Lent. We come to Lent and we come with a real expectation of being more prayerful, being more humble, and being more concerned about the needs of others. We live the Lenten season with these attitudes. At the same time, and this is the final part of this short meditation, at the same time, we have to remember that we are not alone in this exercise. It is the whole church that is entering this renewal, this opportunity. It is the church that is accepting, is willing to accept this opportunity. Well, that's part of the answer. But we are not alone, chiefly because we are following Christ. We are with Christ. It is because of his 40 days in the wilderness. Because of his 40 days, we have our 40 days. Because of his fasting, we learn to fast. Because of his prayer, we want to learn how to pray. Because of his complete donation of himself, that we want to learn how to give ourselves, how to give some of us to others. So what I am saying is that Lent is a true school of Christian life. And the teacher and master is Christ himself. So it is good that we enter into this season. Well, we are midway in the season, but that we enter into this season with the very purpose of accepting Christ as teacher and master of our life. I want to learn how to pray. This is my aim. This is my goal in this Lent. I want to improve my prayer first because I am taking a more prayerful attitude. But secondly, and not less important, Because now we have a master. So bringing once and again to our memory, remembering once and again Christ's prayer in the wilderness, in the desert, watching with the eyes of our minds, watching Christ in prayer. That was the inspiration. That was the very inspiration of the apostles. You remember that at some point in the gospel, the apostles asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray." Why did they say so? Well, because they have seen Christ in prayer. So the desire to pray is not something that the world will give us. The world won't teach us that prayer is required, is needed, is convenient, is useful. No. The world wants us very, very distracted, completely dispersed, completely oblivious of God's ways. How will I feel the need? How will I feel the pleasure? How will I feel the sweetness of prayer? Contemplating, staring at Jesus in prayer. He is my teacher. He is my leader. He leads the way. I'm the follower. I'm going behind. He's going forward. So that I see him in prayer. I remember him frequently. How he prays. What are the sentiments, the feelings, the concerns? What are the tears? What are the smiles? What are the thoughts? What are the purposes? What are the sufferings? Many saints have said that Christ's passion didn't begin when he was betrayed by Judas. No. Christ's passion accompanied his entire life. His prayer was passion, was the beginning of his passion. Because entering in prayer with Jesus is becoming aware of the huge gap between God's will and this world. When you enter in prayer with Jesus, this is the difference, with Jesus, you feel the enormous distance between God's kingdom and the kingdoms on this earth. And when you see that difference, you feel sorrow. You feel really deep in your heart, there's something that has to be done. This is not right. This is not working. Something has to be done. But you feel that because you are in prayer, because you are with Jesus, because you are sharing his concerns, his feelings, his thoughts, his words, his tears, his smiles. Only sharing all that, you are able to feel the urge. I like that word. To feel the urge. And only following Jesus, you feel a real change in your mood. Really, you come to understand that it is not simply saying prayers or saying more prayers. It is because something has to be done. Something has to change in my heart. Something has to change in my life. Something has to change in the life of my family. I really need that. When and where did I learn that something has to be done? I learned that seeing Jesus, When I watched him in prayer, I felt that way. Again, with fasting, when I see Jesus that was led by the Holy Spirit to the desert, when I see Jesus fasting, doing penance, when I see Jesus recovering in all its purity the essence of the covenant, because that was the reason for being in the desert. When I see Jesus recovering the essence of the covenant, rediscovering, if I can say that, rediscovering that God is enough, God is sufficient, God is all I need. Rediscovering in the desert that every form of idolatry is warfare against God. When I am with Jesus in the desert, I also understand that the many, many things that are calling for my attention, that the many, many things that I am calling for my money, the many, many things that are calling and asking my energy, probably don't deserve that, because I have rediscovered the essence of the covenant, and I rediscover, as Francis of Assisi and many others have discovered, I discovered that there's no need for so many things, that probably I am almost buried beneath so many things and things. Well, that's the essence of fasting. It becomes liberating. It becomes an experience of being set free. It becomes an experience of being a newcomer to the kingdom of liberty. Christ, my Lord, is teaching me the essence of the covenant, and I have realized that I don't need so many things. I don't need so much money. I don't need so many things that I was told that I needed. That is liberating. So fasting is not only penance that we do, but it's also the beginning of the way to freedom. And finally, I discover a new way of seeing other people. Other people, they are not customers, simply put. They are not customers. They are not competition. They are not tools to be used or to be enjoyed as a toy. They are the children of God, probably distracted, probably in chains, probably suffering from so many illnesses. But they are the children of God. In Jesus, in His eyes, in His heart, I learn how to see my neighbor in a different light, and that is a different atmosphere. I truly wish you that this second part, this final part of the Lenten season, is most fruitful for you. I really wish that you experience that God's will is bringing you towards this atmosphere, towards this experience of being a true follower of Jesus Christ. And of course, in advance, I also wish you a very, very happy Easter. May the Lord bless you. And now, I invite you kindly to stand up and to say together the prayer, the central prayer of our faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We cannot forget our Blessed Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you for coming. It's a great pleasure to have you here. And we can go in peace.